good morning, a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, repeatedly declaring his authority over states is total, says the LA Times. President Trump let loose a tirade of grievances and accusations Monday. Even as governors on both the West and East Coast made clear they weren't following White House cues and began making plans to ease restrictions to the coronavirus pandemic on a regional basis, after a weekend of fuming and tweeting about what he saw as negative news coverage, Trump staged one of the strangest of his nearly nightly White House briefings, angrily claiming he had been brutalized by the media and playing a White House-produced campaign-style reel of edited video clips, with officials praising his efforts.
David, there's so much to be discussed here. He was really having a meltdown of the worst order. And he reminded me of a two-year-old tantrum. He took on the reporters. He told them they were disgraceful. He made it clear that he had done everything right. And yet the reporters, for their part, would quite correctly raise the fact that he hadn't done what he needed to do. And in fact, in the beginning, he was in denial. He said, well, we had one case, but we know now that the Chinese had warned us what was coming. And not only the Chinese, but his own advisors were telling him there was a pandemic on the way, and he did nothing about it. So now he yells at a CBS reporter, and he yells at everybody else who's in the room, and he tells them we're all a bunch of phonies, and the American news media is phony. And believe me, if even Fox dares to question anything, he yells at them too. So what we have is a guy who, in a bad movie, 7 days in May was somewhat realistic, but in this movie, you have a president who is so out of control that he contradicts his own people, because we have a president who is frankly behaving like a madman. What else is there to say except that he has a great deal of power, and he keeps reiterating that he's the president and the president has the power. Now look, the Constitution of the United States divides power. We have something in this country, I taught it for 40 years, dual sovereignty. It means the states have sovereignty and the federal government does, and they're supposed to share that. Now we have a Supreme Court, which somebody like John Roberts, the Chief Justice, is saying he's for a strong presidency. We knew that when he was appointed, and he wasn't appointed by Trump and the others who agree with that. And so you have a feeling that you're on some kind of a submersible on the way down that's not coming up, because this guy is so adamant that he is right. But we do know certain facts. We know that in the beginning, when he said he was preparing and he knew what he was doing, he was saying that this whole thing was a Democratic hoax. Now, how many times have I said that? Maybe hundreds. Why? Because it's so important. You don't hear it being said. That in the beginning, he said it was a Democratic hoax out to get him. No, sir. It was not. It was one of the worst things this world has ever experienced, if not the worst. And we are in the middle of it right now. Along comes Governor Cuomo. I spoke with him yesterday, David, as you know. And, you know, he makes it clear the states will decide this. We may have a little contest between the mayor of New York City on the opening and closing of schools. But as we know, there is a law in political science that says basically that the city is a creature of the state, meaning the state has the power. The states are not a creature of the federal government. They are independent, and they have the ability with their governors to make these decisions, which they are going to do. For his part, Trump sees his reelection prospects, as Paul Simon would have written, slipping and sliding away, and he doesn't know what to do other than the traditional route of blaming everybody. He has the nerve to go up on the podium yesterday and to play David a video, which he has assembled, wasting everybody's time, which is purely political and not the kind of analytical, fact-based material that we need. Apparently, they got to Fauci a little bit because he pulled back a little bit yesterday, but everybody understood that he feels he should be at the White House, at the podium, and he has to give a little to stay there. He does it. I'm proud of him. I think most Americans are.
Well, Alan, it happened yesterday in a surprise joint appearance over live-streamed video. Bernie Sanders endorsed Joe Biden for president. What did you think?
Well, look, in the end, Bernie Sanders said it best. The thing that has to be done is to get this guy out of the White House, and he is doing it. For his part, Biden is meeting Sanders halfway, more than halfway. They're setting up task forces in order to discuss policies so that they can be in the same place. In other words, Biden has made concessions in order to get this thing done, and Bernie has accepted those, and they're moving ahead. It is a terror that this president could win re-election, and he could, without question. He's trying his best. The whole idea is you keep people from voting, the Wisconsin experience. You don't want voting by mail because, you know, the more people who vote, the better the chances that the Democrats have. So we know what this is about. It's as plain as you could possibly expect.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. Alan, be safe. And as you always say, listeners, we're all in this together.
We are, David. And what's more, it's your radio station, folks. In the beginning, there was nothing. Albany Med AMC gave it up. We took it over. We had no resources at all. We came to you, and you were there. If it wasn't you, it may have been your grandparents. 1979, I remember it well. You said, no, we're not going to lose this. And what we had then was a shell of what we have now. The great Ian Pickus, the wonderful people who were in the control rooms, Joe Donahue and his magnificent work. You, David, come in every morning when everybody else is sheltering. You're doing it, and it's a station that is made up of heroes. And it's not surprising that people are sending money in because they know that they have a friend at WAMC, like the lady who came into town and plugged in the radio and was bereft without friends and said, now I know I have a friend. You do, folks. Everybody's got one, and we've got to keep it going, and we've got to support it.
WAMC.org.